Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Midnight, one more night without sleeping. Watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping?
There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door.
Not once tried to tell them I've been there. Door slammed, hospitality's thin there. Wonder just what's going on in there.
Saw an eyeball people.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the green door. Do you remember that, you old timers? Jim Lowe sang it. I always loved that song. Little boy when I was, when that thing came out, but it was a cute song. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, March the 12th. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, we got a lot to talk about today. In a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Scott Lincecum of the Cato Institute. We're going to get the libertarian perspective on that so-called American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue, what a name. Like, you know, they come up with these wonderful names. You know, there's Project Warp Speed and the American Rescue. I mean, you would think that it's nothing but good news. Anyway, can't wait to talk with Scott about this. And more rioting going on across the country. Portland, this time supposedly they're rioting over an oil pipeline. My gosh. And, of course, that George Floyd cop trial going on in Minneapolis. They were rioting and breaking windows and fires and stuff around the federal building in Portland. We'll talk about that. All this while President Biden, he went before the nation last night. Did you watch any of that? And in part, he was blaming Donald Trump for the virus response. And then I was listening and I was thinking, okay, and what are you exactly doing? What now? I'm waiting. What exactly are you doing that's different? I don't think I heard anything. Anyway, we'll be talking with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci, about both of those events and other things. Stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And we're going to dust off Wilbur the Duck, another edition of Campus Quackery. We're going to focus on Berea College in Kentucky, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The updated top 10 states where you will live the longest. Where you will live the longest. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It's on State Road. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. And as we move into spring, it's time to, you gotta look dapper. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right. Well, we got a lot of things going on, as we said. Can't wait to talk with Scott Lincecum. He's a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about the American Rescue Plan. In the meantime, did you know the stock market continues to go up? I hope you have a few bucks in some equity markets in the stock market, because you'd be making money right now. It hit an all-time high. I think it's over 32,000, if I'm not mistaken. It's at least over 31,000. It rallied, what, 188 points yesterday? So I guess Biden will take credit, President Biden will take credit for that, despite the pandemic. And apparently that American Rescue Plan, there must have been something that made people feel good because the stock market went north. Two of the leading stocks are Boeing and Google. And Around the world, the stock market is doing fairly well, too, including in China and in Japan. So far, so good. We keep waiting, do we not, for the ultimate collapse? There's always, what always goes up must come down, right? That's what we always keep telling ourselves. So there you go. In the meantime, I don't know, Ed, I'm sure you stood up, you turned off all the sports last night because Joe Biden was making a speech at 8 o'clock last night. I heard some guy this morning said, I'm listening to this guy talk, and he said it was surreal. He used the word surreal. And, you know, I think that's an appropriate word because there's something about it when Biden is talking. There's, I don't know what it is. I'm wondering what's going on in his head as I'm watching him. He looks...
Well, there's a little monkey in there banging one of those cymbal things.
I have that in my head. It's called tinnitus.
Unfortunately, I was into 14 of the 16-hour day I had yesterday, so the last thing I wanted to do was turn him on and fall asleep.
You were busy.
Yeah, so I did flip through the channels, but the 3-4 minutes I was on it, he never moved, other than his mouth, but I believe that's somehow...
Well, if you look in the background, done. Kamala Harris is doing ventriloquism.
Yeah, she pulls the string, and then she comes up and checks his work.
So he announces that as part of the next phase in combating the virus, he is directing the states, tribes, and territories to ensure everyone is eligible for vaccination by May the 1st. What does that mean? Well, that he's going to ensure that everybody is eligible for vaccine. Everybody in this country, at some point, is eligible for the shot.
Well, he's riding on the heels of Governor DeSantis of Florida, who said the other day he feels by sometime in April, everyone in Florida that needs a shot will get a shot.
So he's probably picking up on that, yeah. And he thinks, yeah. You know what, that's a good catchphrase.
Yeah, I'll just back it up 2 weeks.
In the meantime, we are starting our second year now under some sort of a lockdown. Can you imagine how long it's been that we've been going through this? We've been going through this for over a year now, wearing masks, avoiding crowds, keeping our distance from other people. I'll tell you what. In the meantime, states like Florida, Texas, Mississippi, and others are either totally open or are basically open. Now, Florida, I think DeSantis was trying to keep things open. I mean, we got to a point when it was the worst where we had to. But even then, he was looking for ways to keep the state open.
I mean, we're not open 100%.
No.
But pretty much I would say.
But I mean, I can't think of a business or, like a retail. Can you think of a retail store that's not available to us now in Florida? All the grocery stores, I believe all the restaurants.
Well, any of the ones that may have gone down probably were in trouble before COVID, and this is a good excuse.
Well, what
to
I
bail.
Mean is, are there any particular retails where they're prohibited from?
No,
they're all open.
Right, even the movie theaters,
And the movie theaters are open and everything else. In the meantime, Biden managed to blame Trump for not doing enough. I'm trying to find the line in here. He said, we were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked. Denials for days, weeks, then months. He said that led to more deaths, more infections, more stress, and more loneliness. That is not true. That's not true. I don't remember Trump ever saying it's a hoax or there's no issue. He was one of the first to demand that we shut down travel from China while Biden was saying that was, what was the word he was using, kind of a racist thing to do. Remember that?
Well, the hoax came up from some of the powers that be that rearranged his words digitally by saying the COVID and then it's the it's the Democrats' new hoax. But it was all in the same sentence. They just moved it around.
Yeah, but he never called the virus a hoax.
No.
No, he used the word hoax in response to the way the media and the Democrats were portraying things.
Yes.
You got to remember,
he was told at the beginning by the so-called experts, you don't have to wear a mask. We'll be fine through this. You know, it's just.
And I don't blame anybody. Nobody knew for sure. We were going. It's new to everybody. But, I mean, for Biden to stand there and say that when he didn't know what the heck to do either. In fact, I think things were probably done better and more. I think Trump responded much quicker, let's say, than Biden would have. Anyway, let us take our break. We will shift gears to some extent. We're going to talk with Scott Lincecome from the Cato Institute about his feelings on the American Rescue Plan.
Has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Hey, we are back on a Friday and delighted to have Scott Lincecome join us. He is a senior fellow in economic studies at the great, and I mean that, great Cato Institute. They've been around for a while, and they present the libertarian perspective on what is going on, not only in the country, but around the world. And we're going to talk with Scott about the American Rescue Plan. I wanted to get a libertarian's take on this $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Scott, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Absolutely our pleasure. So, $1.9 trillion, I mean, we're now talking in trillions when it comes to packages from Washington. Has it gotten to that point? I imagine as a Cato libertarian expert, you look at this thing and you go, what hath we wrought? What hath we wrought? Tell us, what is your take on this package?
Yeah, it does give me the shakes a little bit when I start talking about it. But the issues, I think, are several. You mentioned the total price tag, but it's really important, I think, to get into the weeds a little bit and realize that, you know, there's only about 15% of that $1.9 trillion, so around $300 billion, that is truly COVID pandemic related. So, you know, if you're looking at vaccines and COVID containment and some small business grants for like restaurant reopening, and even if you give the school reopening a full credit, you know, that's only 15%. The next batch, though, is things that could you arguably say are related to the pandemic, things like expanded unemployment benefits or direct payments, these stimulus payments, and child tax credit expansion and the rest. The problem with those, and that's about $800 billion. Now, the problem with those, though, is that they are not targeted at all to people who actually have suffered financial hardship, who may be, unable to find new work, having real trouble. Because the truth is, there are millions of Americans who are still struggling. But these billions are not going to those folks, or at least not only those folks. They're going to a lot of other folks, people who are making well above middle-class incomes, who have kept their jobs and worked from home the whole time, and they could be getting, you know, not just a couple thousand, but like $10,000 or more in new payments, above and beyond the thousands that the government, federal government, has already given these families.
Well, first
And then finally...
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Then finally, there's just some stuff that's just utterly egregious. I think the biggest example is there's about $90 billion in there for a union pension bailout. What's so troubling about this is that there have been years of bipartisan good faith negotiations to try to figure out what to do with these multi-employer pensions that had been poorly managed and were severely underwater. The goal was, you know, look, you don't want to penalize the workers. It's really the pension plans, union leadership, management that cause these problems, but you also don't want to incentivize, you don't want to encourage more bad behavior. Well, no, we just bailed them all out, blew up the negotiations in the process. And then again, we give about $350 billion more to state and local governments, most of whom are actually doing fine in terms of tax revenue and the rest. And those that weren't can still access record low municipal debt rates. And none of that matters. We're just going to, again, throw more money at the problem.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, weren't we coming back already without all of this? It seems to me that, you know, go ahead.
No, you're right. Exactly. And that's, I think that gets to the other problem is that, you know, we had to rush to pass the economic recovery plan before the economy recovered,
yes.
Right? We had to hurry because or else the economy would have recovered,
yes.
Right?
Exactly.
But jokes aside, that raises some really more important issues about what's going to happen to the economy in the second half of the year as all of this new money is kind of sloshing around in the system looking for a home. I mean, will we see, you know, asset bubbles? Will there be inflationary pressures? I don't think there's you know, the kind of case for hyperinflation, that's not likely. But there could be these kind of bubbles that cause pretty significant problems in the economy, you know, whether it's housing has gone crazy and that will continue to go up, and fuel prices and the rest. And when those bubbles happen, if they pop, they can cause pretty significant a ripple effect throughout the economy. Or if inflation does get a little too far out of the control, the Federal Reserve might have to act, and if the Federal Reserve raises rates, that can cause pretty significant problems in terms of causing another recession or hurting developing countries that have dollar-denominated debt. They see those rates spike, and they can't pay their debts. All of this matters, and it just doesn't seem that anybody in Washington really cares.
Right. We're talking with Scott Linsicombe. He is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, where he delves into economics. And my goodness, can't think of a better person to have right now to talk with about all of this. Scott, you're with the Cato Institute, libertarian.
Yeah.
Even the constitutionality of sending cash to U.S. citizens. I mean, I guess we've gotten to the point now where anything goes. The federal government, in my opinion, has no constitutional authority to do this. I guess we just are ignoring the Constitution. Well, where in the Constitution does it say that the United States government has the power to go ahead and send free money to different people? I don't think that's part of their responsibility.
Right. And look, I'll leave the constitutional expertise to my colleagues over in the Constitution Center at Cato. But I do think that you're right, that there are always questions about the federal government's proper role and versus that of the states and localities. Now, I would say that in terms of the stimulus payments and the tax credits and the rest, these are provided through the tax code. So because the federal government has that constitutional authority, they're at least operating in the kind of the realm of constitutionality. I think, again, where things go off the rails is when you look at, again, like things like this pension bailout, for example, that really there's you know, you're not going to be able to find that anywhere in kind of standard federal government constitutional authority.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know I come from Illinois, where that's probably the worst case if you want to look at pension troubles. And this goes back for years and years and years. And the politicians in Illinois gave in to the unions. They gave in, especially the teachers' unions. And, you know, they increased these pension, knowing that these issues were not going to come to the front for years. Well, now they've come to the front, and the states like Illinois, possibly California, are bankrupting themselves. So what do they get? Because of the way that they treated, you know, all of this, they get a pass because we're going to bail them out now. Go ahead.
And even worse, it injects what we call moral hazard into the whole situation. And what we mean by that is that because it imposes no new disciplines on these pension systems and on ones like them, it actually is going to encourage more bad behavior in the future. Because why act responsibly when, you know, the potential for a bailout is sitting there if, you know, you have enough political power? And that's, I think, the real shame here. You know, these pension plans were poorly managed for years. They were promising astronomical returns on investment, charging high and very dubious fees for pension managers. And all the while, membership was dwindling due to demographics and other changes, and they did nothing to reform any of it. And like I said, you know, I don't think pensioners should be on the hook. They did nothing wrong. But certainly we shouldn't be encouraging more bad behavior in the future.
No, of course not. And then people talk about how much of it really goes towards the virus this year and how much there is that has no effect this year on it. And then we got things, apparently, where this is a real Democratic wish list, I guess. You've got, we're sending money overseas. We're paying for bridges, infrastructure. I mean, why don't they rename it? Anything you can put in it, Bill.
Right. And again, I think one of the real problems here is that it's a COVID, quote unquote, relief package that has a ton of stuff that has nothing to do with relief. And like you mentioned, you know, there are a lot of things in this law that are just simply Democratic social priorities. For example, the expansion of trying to make permanent child tax credits and other benefits that are untethered from work, that are just simply a kind of universal basic income for kids. Now, look, we can debate whether that's good or bad, but none of that was debated. Again, it was all called COVID relief. And while it's temporary now, congressional Democrats have been quite clear that they want to make this permanent. And they haven't talked about reforming any other types of welfare or paying for it all, which would add, of course, you know, a trillion plus more down the road to our growing debt.
Right. And of course, when they take a poll of the country's feelings about this package, you know they're going to get a positive response because everybody's expecting a check. I mean, if you take a poll, do you want some money from the government sent to you or not? Well, most people say, heck yeah, send it. You know, I mean, it's such a stupid thing. But do you think people will finally get wise? For instance, in two years, there was not one Republican in either house that voted on this rescue plan. Not one.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, when the elections come up, do you think people will they understand this?
It's difficult to say because, like you said, everybody likes free money, and this was sold as COVID relief. And while, again, there are millions of Americans still struggling, there are a whole lot of folks who aren't. And the economy, like we noted, is reopening. But the only, I think, way there's going to be a significant political price is if we see some of those bad economic ramifications later this year as we start seeing asset bubbles or inflation or the rest. Otherwise, look, people, you know, they got their checks and they don't notice kind of the longer term problems. And that's, you know, a problem that's just built into the political system, short-term political benefit, and who cares about what happens 10 years down the road. But I do think the other problem we have is that congressional Republicans in the last few years and the Trump years just simply weren't very focused on spending issues either. You know, they were passing tons of deficit spending and President Trump himself really didn't mind spending a lot of money.
That's
either.
True.
And, you know, that undermines their argument. You know, it's hard to say why all of a sudden you care about the deficit and the debt when you didn't for the last 4 years. And that's a problem. And the other thing I would note is that, you know, while all of these negotiations were going on, you know, a lot of folks in the Republican Party weren't even focused on the bill, and instead were focused on things like Dr. Seuss. And as we've kind of lost focus a bit, you know, it's just kind of allowed the Democrats to go ahead and take care of their priorities.
Right. In the meantime, we now are where? Upwards near $28 trillion in debt? I mean, it's an unfathomable number. I just wonder, I mean it, how will it be paid? We hear them say, right, well, our grandkids will pay it. I'm not so sure. What do you think, really?
Well, I think the problem really is not the temporary spending that occurs, because this is, for the most part, a one-off bill. The problems, I think, are twofold. First is the threat, the potential for making permanent a lot of the money that's being spent. And that will be a substantial addition to kind of the long-term debt burden. But the other issue is that once again, we've done nothing to actually reform the underlying problems, whether it's with health care spending and especially entitlements. And those things are what really are driving the long-term fiscal imbalance and potential severe problems down the road. And once again, we've done nothing to handle that. In fact, you know, they expand Obamacare subsidies in this plan while doing nothing to deal with higher health care costs or the rest. And that is the big problem with these bills. They simply put a Band-Aid on a flesh wound and leave it to the next generation to deal with.
Yes, indeed. Scott, a real pleasure talking with you. We really appreciate your coming on and talking with us, and I look forward to our next chat.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Scott. Scott Linsicum, Cato Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, what? More rioting in Portland? What is going on there? President Biden stands in front of a camera last night making a presentation. Let's get some take on all of this from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
Hey, we are back. And I want to make sure you know that we are on every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on this great, great Tantalk Radio Network. And delighted to be here. We've been doing this show since 2004. Can you believe that? However, if you can't listen to us live, which is understandable, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast because he puts all our shows there. So you can go to our website, hit the podcast button, and away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And I also want to remind you to tune in every morning to Good Morning Clearwater, which runs 8 to 10 a.m. here on WTAN. Paul and Tracy Allen, they'll start off your day latest in news, entertainment, sports. They're an energetic and good couple. And I highly recommend you tune them in. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So Andrew Cuomo, he's hanging on by a thread, is he not, in New York? I guess even the Democrats are starting to circle the wagons towards impeachment. The New York State Assembly opening an investigation, full subpoena power, the first step in pursuing a potential impeachment of Governor Andrew Cuomo. He's now had, what, about six? He's got a real harem of women, one after another. It seems like each day we get a new one coming forward with a new claim. And some of them are getting a little, let's be honest, if you read some of the stuff now, he's getting a little more than kissy-kissy.
It might come down to changing this whole thing to any women who have not been touched by Cuomo, please raise your hand.
Yes. I'm beginning to think that's the case. Anyway, the Democratic Conference, this is the Democratic Assemblyman Ron Kim, the Democratic Conference taking the first step toward impeachment by opening an investigation with full subpoena power. So by the time they get through with the impeachment, it'll be time to reelect them 2 years anyway. It takes a long time for all of this to go through. Which brings me to the proprietor of the Barber Poll, a former New Yorker, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, if you were a betting man, what odds would you give me that Cuomo will still be the governor after all this investigation stuff?
I think he's still going to be the governor, Paul.
Wow. He's going to hang on no matter what, huh?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like I say, they're worried about the women. We're worried about the 15,000 people. To me, the women is a smokescreen to get away from the 15,000 people that have died.
Yeah, it's a much bigger issue. There's no question about it. I agree with you.
Now, yeah, I mean, it's just a smokescreen. Go ahead.
No. I want to move on to some other topics. Did you have the pleasure or the non-pleasure of watching President Biden sleepwalk through that address last night?
Well, I watched him just till he stood at the podium to realize that he wasn't live. It had to be all recorded and edited, okay? Because he spoke for 20 minutes. His eyes didn't move.
I think they pulled
that.
You remember the in Disney, they got those wax figures that talk? That's what it is.
They went to Tussin's Wax Museum. But no,
yeah.
That was him standing there. There's no question about that.
Oh, all right.
Because he didn't move. He didn't do nothing.
Well, we were talking about the ventriloquist act of Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, Paul, you know, if that was a so-called speech with enthusiasm to get the people motivated, it didn't work.
No, it didn't. He found time to blame Trump, too, for not doing enough.
Isn't he disgusting?
Yeah.
He's the one that didn't do nothing. He called Trump a Chinaphobic or something because he shut down the border from China, if you remember correctly.
Yes.
And him
did.
And Nancy Pelosi were walking around in Chinatown,
right,
to say that everything was okay.
Yep.
You know, Paul, they're full of baloney.
Yep.
I don't think this administration is going to last much longer, to be honest with you. Something's going to go down.
Meantime, we go back to Portland where there's more rioting. This time it's because supposedly they set fires, smashed windows around the Hatfield Courthouse, by the way, in downtown Portland, claiming that they're upset with the pipeline, some pipeline between Alberta and Lake Superior or Superior, Wisconsin. Come on. They're looking for an excuse.
They need to shut off their water pipelines over there.
Yes,
they do. Let them all die of thirst. That'll calm them down.
Yeah, but why is, you don't hear much about it on the mainstream media news, but had it been a bunch of right-wingers that did this, these are left-wingers and crazies from the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other groups, liberal groups, but had it been right-wingers, it would have been headlines for the next 4 or 5 days.
You know, Paul, I don't understand how the media themselves can cover for everything that's going on. Don't these people live in this country?
Yeah, you would
don't
think so.
Don't they see it falling apart? You would think they'd want to help their country, and instead they want to destroy it.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes about how they get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, I'm not really being honest with the people, you know?
I don't understand it, Paul. Yeah. With everything that's going on in this world today, all they're worried about is Cuomo with his women, Biden giving $1,400. What did they call that? Saving America thing or something? It amazes me.
It's the American Rescue Plan. You've got to get your endearment terms correctly. It's the American Rescue Plan.
I think the American people ought to come up with a Barry Biden plan.
Yes.
Because what's going on is total destruction of this country, Paul. Now, the Democrats got, they're trying to put some kind of gun laws into effect, and they had 7 Republicans on board with them. Did you hear about that one yesterday?
I have not. Is it a new piece of legislation they're trying to ram through the House?
Yes. Coming through the House. Seven Republicans joined them.
Yeah, well, some of these are rhinos, right? Republicans in name only.
I call them Republicrats.
Republicrats, that's a good name for it. In the meantime, Paul, I was
wondering, are we going to survive 2 years?
I'm beginning to worry that we won't.
Yeah, I am too, Paul.
I really am.
With everything you see happening, you know, oh, the stock market shot up. It's at a new time high. Well, you know what that means? It's got a long way to fall.
It does, and that's the higher you get, the further you fall. There's no question. Now, I was watching, I forget if it was Fox News or some other channel, and they had like an aerial shot of this incomplete fencing down along the southern border, wide gaps. You could see some of this new fencing that Trump had put down. And then, of course, when Biden gets in, he stops all of this. And so you got all of these huge gaps, that allow people to get through. So White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday says that there is a, quote, large flow of child migrants coming to the U.S., but denied that the southern border is open. What in the hell is she talking about? All you got to do is, who are you going to believe, Jen Psaki or my lying eyes, you know?
Paul, what is this, a large amount of childs? What is a 5-year-old kid doing coming to the border by himself? What's the deal
of
here?
Of course. Well, this is all, you know, with drug cartels. You know what's going on. All these
Paul,
different things that they're doing.
It's all a bunch of baloney. You know, the media needs to get down there and film what's going on and put it all over the news. That's what they need to do. Let them see the people that are coming into this country with disease. And the moron last night says, well, maybe you'll get to get together with your friends on the 4th of July. What are you talking about? I got news for you, mister. I got news for you. We're going to meet with our friends. And let me tell you, our fireworks are all going to be aiming that direction on the 4th of July.
Are you kidding me or what? I know. He's got some nerve. Oh, yeah. Let me write this down. I'll wait till the 4th of July to exit my house and have a beer with my buddies. What are you, nuts? This is so stupid.
They're out of their minds. And now everybody's going to get their shots. Everybody's going to have their shots. I got news for you. I'm not going to be their experiment.
I have not gotten a shot yet, and I'm still kind of dubious about it. I don't know. I just don't have that fear.
I don't either. I've been living my life normal.
Exactly. And the more that I don't know, the more that I'm going through all of this, the less I think that it has to do with wearing masks and social distancing and all of these other things, because you can go to states where they have really clamped down with that stuff as opposed to states that have been rather liberal about it, and I don't see any difference.
No, and the only difference is they're going broke and we got to support them.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the only difference. People aren't working, we got to support them. I mean, where do they come along with this stimulus? We've got to support people's pensions.
Right.
And we're taxpayers. I think what they ought to do from now on, before they start sending money to other countries and giving it to the unions that blew all their money, they don't have it for the pensions, the cities don't have pensions, I think the people need to vote where this money goes. It's the people's money.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The polls will show that most people are excited about receiving free money. I mean, if you're told, look, do you want a $1,400 check sent to you? Hell yes, I do. So the heck with these polls. This is nonsense. They don't care about the rest.
It's not free money.
Of course not.
There's nothing in life that's free.
You are right, sir. But do you think these people that got their hands out, gimme, 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 they don't give a damn?
You know what this stimulus is going to cost everybody? Another $5,000 a piece added on to what they already owe.
And it could be causing inflation, and you keep referring to, which is true, gas prices are going to shoot up, and they have been shooting up.
Hey, Paul, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, the American people need to band together. They're keeping us divided purposely because they can control what's going on, and they can get anything by they want. But if this country all joined together, there'd be no stopping what's going to happen here.
Indeed. So
the people need to stick together, Paul. And it's not happening. The people need to get smart and realize they're dividing you. They're doing anything they can to divide you. I mean, look at even on the news with this the trial going on of the cop that killed George Floyd. And
yes.
They're hoping things will happen there.
Of course.
I mean, I don't think they will this time. You know why, Paul?
Why?
It's not election time. They're not trying to get rid of Trump.
Yeah. They stoke all of the soup that spills over and causes all of this trouble. The media love it. Of course, they're always looking for something, But you're right; they don't have Trump to throw around anymore.
Well, you know what? They're going to have a noose if they keep closing their eyes to everything China's doing, Paul. Let me tell you something: China was behind all of this. Trump was right. They've got 99.9% know now that it was grown in a lab, okay? It wasn't Obama in Hunan with Fauci in Hunan. Didn't Fauci sit there and say that Trump's going to have to deal with some kind of pandemic a few years back? This was all a setup, Paul. China was behind it. The whole world came down in order for China to get what they want. People don't realize it, but we're in a war with China right now,
yeah,
Paul.
I think we are.
It's not as we know it. It's not rockets and tanks and everything else. It's economic, and they're doing it by cyber attacks.
Yeah, no,
and,
you're right.
Letting germs go.
You're right.
We are at war, Paul.
I also tend to believe that the virus did escape from a lab. Not about this coincidence that it's two blocks away.
It had
nothing to do with the lab. It's two blocks away in a farmer's market. That's what they're claiming. Whoa, it happened to...
Oh, yeah. First they said somebody ate a bat, remember? They boil long enough, they got nothing to worry about.
The other thing about Biden, it must be nice as a president to make all these moves and all these executive orders and not have to answer to anybody, because he hasn't had one press conference yet.
He
doesn't have to answer to the $480 million in that bill that goes to illegal immigrants' health care.
Exactly. And even when he holds the press conference, you just know he's going to have certain selected people. They probably have already pre-screened the questions, and he's going to go, okay, who do I talk with next?
What'd you have for breakfast, Mr. President?
that would drive
it's
me
ridiculous.
Nuts. It's gonna, I hope
if
that
the American people, the American people stand for this, they deserve everything they get.
Can you imagine if the press peppered Biden like they did Trump, screaming at him? You know what he'd do? He would collapse. He would collapse on the floor. He would have a stroke. He wouldn't be able to deal with it. That's what would happen
There's
to
no
Biden.
No question.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
No question about it, Paul. If people think we're in good shape right now, they're out of their minds. And this $1,400 is not going to do a thing except raise the prices of everything else and put us deeper in debt.
Yeah. Well, on that positive note, Andrew, I mean, it's always really a pleasure. We're going to hope for better things. I thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to talking with you on Monday.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, my friend. Andrew the Master Barber. We're going to take our break. When we come back, campus quackery in Kentucky.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And thank you so much for being with us. Well, it is time for another edition of Campus Quackery, and we have to go to Kentucky. There is a school there called Berea College, B-E-R-E-A. They're hosting an event called White Citizenship and Trumpism. It's critical of Donald Trump, and it associates the former president and white citizenship with terrorism. A flyer obtained by the Young Americas Foundation describes the event as a way to, quote, resituate Trumpism and white citizenship as forms of white terrorism enacted against the majority of people living within the borders of the U.S. and beyond. Exactly. Thank you, Wilbur. What the heck are they talking about? The flyer also takes critical approach to the, quote, Make America Great Again slogan. Quote, despite calls for multiculturalism and colorblindness, segments of white America mourn their so-called loss of privilege, consistently begging to return to the nostalgic past in which their esteemed value as white citizens went unquestioned. So this should be a real fun course at Berea College in Kentucky. All right. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I'm a big college basketball fan, and of course this is like the heart of college basketball. We're going to do the NCAA tournament starting next week. They're going to have this Sunday, Selection Sunday. I know you're not a great big college basketball fan, but we didn't have one last year because of the pandemic. So because of that, do you have any more interest in it this year at all?
No.
Okay.
My eyes will just gloss over whenever it's talked
all
about.
Right.
So.
All right, so
I'm not into the gambling.
So you don't like the gambling, but do you enjoy the college basketball games themselves? No,
not really. I mean,
okay,
I'm all for kids cheering for their school. It's just I think it just gets too much into gambling about it.
You don't know
anything about it. You just like the color of their uniforms or whatever, and we're going to bet on them.
Oh you know, well, I understand. So, the Lightning are playing, at the same time. They're doing well, although they lost, I think, last night at Detroit. But
can't win them all.
Can't win them all. But they're doing great. They've won, in the last nine games, they won virtually all of the games.
Tomorrow will be a big night at Amalie Arena because they're going to have fans back at a limited
capacity.
Are they? 3,800 will be
really?
The total.
Oh,
and
cool.
They will raise the championship banner.
That will be nice.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. And that's tomorrow night.
That is tomorrow night.
Okay, good. All right. It is time for our top 10. And I like this one. We did one years ago on this, I think, but they've updated it. These are the top 10 states where you'll live the longest. Guess where this information comes from? It comes from the Center for Disease Control. I'm beginning to wonder if they're the one that came up with this. I'm not so sure.
It's better than coming from, say, Overweight Americans Association or something.
Okay.
It's like, do you ever go to a doctor and he's overweight and he talks about yours?
I know. And he's bigger than you are. Yeah. And he's telling you, now you got to watch your health. Oh, yeah? I think George Burns once said, my doctor always told me I had to quit smoking these cigars. Yeah. He was always talking with a cigar in his hand. Yeah. Then he stops, you know, takes a puff. He says, my doctor is dead.
He made 100 and something.
He lived to be 100. Yeah. Okay, here we go. These are the top 10 states where you will live the longest. Number 10. God knows why, but Rhode Island. I mean, why?
It's not much stress in Rhode Island.
I guess not. By the way, Americans are expected to live an average of 78.7 years. Women still outlive men. Can you live by 5 years?
Hmm.
They tend to live 5 years longer than men. Wow. Hmm. Okay. Number 9. I don't know how you live long in this state. New Jersey is number 9.
Talk about stress.
What? How can, maybe it's because they go through so much stress, they can deal with anything. Anything. And that's why they can live longer. I mean, there's got to be something, mm-hmm. right? Okay, number 8. Hey, one of your favorite states, Ed. Colorado.
Getting 26 inches of snow this weekend.
Yeah, right? Lots of good skiing there.
Yeah, why aren't you all? They're all happy out there.
That's it. Mm. Colorado's always been considered like a good, happy state.
Hey, nobody's frowning out in Colorado.
No. Okay. Number 7. Washington State is number 7. I'm trying to think of that as
Seattle.
I think Seattle, Washington is a big state. Seattle's only one little spot. You got the rest of the state. And by the way, the rest of the state is rather conservative once you get outside of the Seattle area. Mm. Yeah. Okay, number 6. Here's another one that boggles my mind. Massachusetts.
Hmm.
It's one of the most liberal states in the country.
A lot of politicians.
Yeah.
Live there.
Now, there's a lot of colleges there.
Gotcha.
It's always considered an educated environment there. Number 5. Not far away, Connecticut. Connecticut is another one. You know, I'm thinking with Connecticut, you always think of big money. You know, a lot of people with a lot of money live in Connecticut and all that. I wonder if the more money you have, the longer you live in a way. Because you can afford better doctors and...
Yeah, well, stress. You don't have to worry about money, right?
That's another thing, yeah. Okay, number 4. Minnesota. Minnesota's always got ranks high for some reason. Minnesotans and like in the north central area of the country... But Minnesota, okay, cold weather, maybe you live longer.
Yeah, half the year you're probably shacked up, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Can't get out.
Okay, number 3. Oh, boy, how did this one ever make it? New York.
Must be pre-Cuomo days.
I'm beginning to think these are the states where you'll live the shortest, but they're not. But New York City.
Maybe they were being sarcastic when they picked New York.
I'm thinking that. Well, it's the Centers for Disease Control. I don't believe them on anything anymore. Here we go again. Number 2. California.
You're right.
Well, I can kind of understand California if you can get outside those major cities, right? All right, Ed. What do you think is the number 1 state where you will live the longest?
Let's go to a mellow place that does well with real estate and things. A lot of people move in there. North Carolina.
You know what? That would have been a good guess, but it's not right.
Huh.
It's Hawaii.
Oh.
Hawaii.
Well, I can see that, but geez.
Hawaii, you know, where you got weather that's beautiful and you're thousands of miles away from the mainland.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Everybody is just mellow in Hawaii. There you go. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. Be safe this weekend, and remember, freedom works.